Good afternoon. Welcome to Box of Cameras Podcast. This is Matt. I've been away for a while. Been busy. And today, today I'm sick. You know, it's kind of odd this day and age. We're in the middle of COVID-19 pandemonium. You know, when you're sick, people look at you sideways. I know I was at work yesterday and had a little coughing fit. And you know, no one's saying, Matt, do you need a drink of water or anything like that? They're all looking for the exit signs, trying to plan their escape route, best way to avoid me. I thought I'd give them all a break and stay home from work today. So anyways, I just have a cold and just decided it'd be best to stay home and maybe get caught up on a couple things. So, hey, why not make a podcast? You know, when you sound your very best, that's when you should be on your recorder making a podcast. Or you can wait until your nose is all stuffed up and you're going to cough. Then you can make one. So I chose the latter because, well, it's just sort of the way I am. So what's been up? What have I been up to? Just been busy with the weather. You know, wintertime here in Iowa does not inspire you to get out and shoot. You get the occasional nice day, and that means that you got to go up and scrape ice. I spend a lot of time over at my mom's house on every decent day scraping the ice off of her driveway. Can't have old people falling. Hell, you can't have young people falling. No good for anybody to fall. So I did a lot of that. But one thing I've always done, and if you've listened to more than a few episodes, you know I'm pretty much out shooting almost every day. And so, you know, shot quite a few rolls here over the last month and a half. Went to go develop them the other day. And, well, that's when disaster struck. And that's really the purpose of this podcast today. Talk about disaster and disaster recovery. Not unlike how you recover from COVID-19 pandemonium. You know, it's a disaster. Everybody's got to freak out. Well, you know, I've never been one to do much freaking out, maybe more so after the fact, you know, in the center of the storm, the eye of the storm. I'm the guy that's always there. Let's do this. Let's do that. Make sure this is okay. And then when it's all over and done with, I'm the guy over in the corner pretty much shaking and sobbing uncontrollably. So I pretty much fall apart after the fact. So that's let's talk about how we come back from disaster. So let me tell you first what the disaster was. You know, I shot all these rolls of film here. Nothing special. I had a couple decent things. I shot a roll of some experimental red scale. I was looking forward to that. Also shot a roll of a little side trip that I'd taken with a buddy of mine. Went out into a little bit of the wilderness, shot some, you know, nice winter scenes. It was a color roll. I had a roll of low ISO Kodak 2254 color film that sort of has a nice blue cast, and I was looking forward to seeing how that was going to play in the winter light. And just a couple other things, so some shots around my neighborhood. And that's pretty much where I've shot most of my film. I have a park right behind my house, and I take my dog out to the park every day to go for a walk, let him run, burn off some of that energy, and I walk around, I take pictures of the objects that are out there. They're the same things. You know, trash can, basketball backboards, water pump. If you've ever seen any of the pictures I've taken of the dolphin, the cement dolphin, we call him Gary Dolphin. That's where it's at, is out in the park behind my house. So I had several of those shots, and I was looking forward just to seeing. It was more or less experimental. Let's see what the light looks like with this film. Let's see if we can make something happen here with this. And me being me, you know, instead of saying, hey, let's go through these individually. Let's develop them. Let's make sure that we do everything correctly. I decided to load everything into my 5-reel Patterson tank and do them all at once. You know, it is color film. It's all, I think it was mostly C41. There was a couple rolls. The 2254 is ECN2, and so is the couple rolls of something with Remjet. I can't remember which one. Kodak Vision 2, I think that's what it was. And so I had that stuff out there, and I just decided, you know, let's just throw it all in here and we'll develop it all in the ECN chemistry that I got here, and we'll see what happens. Okay, so I went to develop my 5 rolls of film and developed as I always do. I use a sous vide cooker to maintain my water temperature for the ECN2. You want to keep it at 106 degrees. Do that just like always. And run through my developer. And it's getting kind of long in the tooth. It looked like a carbon milkshake. There's been so much rim jet put through that stuff. But I figured it worked last time. It'll work this time. Did that. Did a quick water stop. Ran the Blix through. The Blix is that, if you've ever seen it as I mixed it up with the potassium ferrocyanide, it's thick, viscous yellow stuff, bright yellow chartreuse, and put that through. Did a quick water rinse on that. Went to do my fix, just like I always do. Did a quick water rinse on my fix. Decided, hey, let's open this stuff up here. We'll do a photo flow and hang this stuff to dry. And I opened it up, and every single roll was absolutely blank. I mean, everything was essentially burned off the film. There was no frames, no markings on the film of any sort. They were just completely blank color film strips, you know, that kind of orange tint. Nothing. Blank. Gone. All of it. Disaster. So that's where I was at. And I did this about a week and a half ago. And I was, you know, I was bummed. You know, I didn't lose anything, so to speak. It's not like I worry too much about that. But, you know, I haven't had a film developing disaster since last summer when I put some black and white film in with some color and it came out blank. Or maybe it was, the black and white went in with the color, it came out blank. That was the last disaster that I've had. And you know, that's the deal. If you're developing your own film, you will have them. Trust me. You will have them. You'll put the fixer in first. Boy, that's a killer. That'll get you every single time. I've never done it because I read about it. And I said, you know what? Whenever I mix fixer, I'm going to put it in a gallon jug. A great big gallon jug that's different than all the other jugs. There's no way I can miss it. There's no way I'll ever put it in first. So that's what I do with that. My ECN2 and my ECN2, bleach, are both in very similar containers. And yet, I don't know that I mix them up. It's kind of hard. I mean, they're marked fairly well, but it could have happened. But I didn't think that's what happened. You know, I developed them. I walked through the process in my head. I'm looking at the jugs in front of me going, how did this happen? And the only thing I could really come up with is that my chemistry was just shot. It was just about done. And then when I ran it through the bleacher, the bleach just pretty much took everything off, anything that was left. And the fixer, well, there was nothing left for the fixer to fix. So that was the least of it. So, you know, what do you do when you've destroyed 5 rolls of film? Hopefully if it happens to you, it's only one. What do you do? Well, you start doing some detective work. Okay, how did this happen? Let me look at this film really closely. I mean, when I looked at the film, like I said, there's no markings on it. I looked at it again even today. Those 5 film strips are still hanging where I normally hang my film. I haven't touched anything about it until today. Looked for any edge markings on the film to identify the film. Gone. Nothing there. There's no dark ends that were exposed and developed, and when you develop them, they're black. No, nothing. They're all completely clear. So, like I said, I suspect that my developer was just about shot, and when I went to bleach, it took most of it out. I suspect I might have also had a temperature thing in there as well. But what I really decided was, let's look through these chemicals and just see if they're ready to still develop, if they're really in any good shape. So that's what I did. So what do you do? Now, first thing I did, instead of just immediately start testing the chemistry or anything like that, I went back through my records. Because, you know, I tend to write things down on a tablet and just, hey, this is what I developed and whatnot. So I went back, and here I've got the tablet right here in my hand. And I went back, and I went back, and I went quite a ways back. Let's see, I think I lost my, yep, that's still, that was last. And then there's this, and this goes back. And it goes back in. Oh, there we go. Okay. There's that. 4, 325, 241. And essentially what I found is that my developer was almost a year old. So that's never good. That's never good. Let's see. Where's my... There it is right there. That's still all black and white. Yeah, ECN2, yeah, it was sometime last spring when I mixed this stuff up, probably March. I mixed up a 2-liter batch, so it went quite a ways. And what I recall was when I poured that in, I'm looking at the chemistry going into the developing tank, and that stuff is black. I mean, it looks like a black milkshake. It is carbon. It is black. And I should have just said, it's probably time to mix up some new, but I didn't. And so I figured it was super weak. I hadn't developed any ECN2 for a couple of months as well. So just sitting there getting oxidized and basically turning into crap. So I decided, you know what, that stuff can't be any good. But let's not jump the gun here. Let's look at the other stuff. So I poured a little bit out into a plastic cup, and I looked at the developer, and I was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to mix up some new developer. I'm not going to mess with it. So, like I said, let's look at the other stuff. Let's look at the bleach. You know, the bleach on ECN2, when you mix it up, and there's a lot of different ways you can mix it up in different chemicals, but what I had was this stuff called potassium ferrocyanide. And it's not like, you know, cyanide, like we all think, you know, like, the people take, you know, the army guys in the movies, I'm going to take the cyanide so that they can't get the secret out of me. Well, no, this stuff here looks like sugar crystals that you use to decorate cookies with at Christmas. That's what it looks like. But when you mix it with water, it turns yellow. I mean, chartreuse, like I just said, chartreuse, yellow. And yet this stuff here looked, yeah, there was a lot of gray and dark in it. And I'm like, you know what, if I'm going to mix up new chemistry developer, I may as well just mix up some new bleach too. And so I'm just like, yeah, we'll just start with fresh. And I decided, well, let's look at the fixer, you know, because fixer is easy to test, and it's usually one of those things that, you know, when it goes, it sort of goes slowly, but you can surely check it. You can do what they call a clip test. And what I do is whenever I load film, you know, or rolls or whatever, I'll have those little bits of stuff that you snip off the end, either when you go to develop it or when you roll a new film. And so I'll just use those to do a clip test. And so basically you take that little clip, that's what it is, just a little piece of the film, you know, and it's not been, it's been exposed. It's been out in the, sunlight or the light forever. And I'll put some fixer in a little plastic cup, just a little bit, ounce or two, milliliters, something like that. Not very much. And just drop the film in there and just sort of shake it around, not just gently, not you're not foaming anything, you're just moving it around. And just sort of see how long does it take for that film strip to clear, just as if you were removing the silver from it, which is really all that the fixer is doing at that point. And, you know, it's quite frankly, fresh fixer in a clip test will at full strength, it'll clear it up in 20, 30 seconds. And when I say clear it up, make it so that you can see through it. And this stuff here that I've got, I mixed it up last summer, did a clip test on it, and you know what? It was fine. It cleared everything up in less than 30 seconds, 25, 30 seconds, and so it would clear it. I did a couple of them just to make sure, a couple different types of film. So I figured, you know what? My fixer's fine, but I think everything else is toast. So what I did was, well, decided I would mix up all new, everything except for fixer. Okay, so I started from scratch. Pretty simple stuff. I DIY all my chemistry now. I still have some Rodinal, and I still have got, you know, quite a bit of HC110 left, and I still use those fairly frequently. But for black and white, I mix up my own D23 and my own D96. Those are just Kodak developers. And so those got dumped, and I decided to mix up some fresh D23, which is what, 7.5 grams of metol and 100 grams of sodium sulfite. Mix it with hot water, let it all dissolve, and you're ready to go. D23. The other one is D96. It's black and white developer made specifically to develop a more recent motion picture film. You know, if you're using, say, Kodak Double X or 2238 or Fujifilm, their color separation film, Fuji Eterna 4791, I mixed that up. It's pretty much the same as D76, except it's got, you know, some potassium bromide in it, which a minuscule amount. I can't imagine it does anything, but, you know, that's what I do. Follow the recipe, Matt. Mix that up, and there's a liter of that. 1.5 grams metol, 75 grams of sodium sulfite anhydrous, 1.5 gram of hydroquinone, 0.4 grams of potassium bromide, and 4.5 grams of borax. Mix it with 1 liter of water, and there you go. So I did that. Then I went to the ECN2 stuff. This is my go-to color developer. I haven't used C41 in, well, over a year. It's been a long time. ECN2 tends to give you brighter, bolder colors. Blues really shine. Oranges really shine. Whereas C41, in my mind, tends to almost mute those colors. But I'm a firm believer in it. It's not drastically different. There's just a couple slight differences in the formulation of them. Really, the color developer, CD3 versus CD4. That's about it. So I mixed up a new 2-liter batch of ECN2 developer. So sodium sulfite, potassium bromide, sodium carbonate, sodium bicarbonate, CD3. Mix that all up. It doesn't even look like the stuff that I poured out. It didn't look like that carbon milkshake. It was kind of this almost pale, purpley, almost red. I can't describe the colors. I mean, I'm not a paint salesman. Clear, you could see through it. I was pretty shocked, so I'm pretty sure that was really what my issue was. Mixed up some new bleach, potassium ferrocyanide with a little potassium bromide. Mixed that stuff up. It was a piece of cake, and yes, it looks just as yellow and bright chartreuse as it did before, except that stuff that I dumped had a lot of gray, and when I got to the bottom, it was kind of black, so I figured that's where all my images were from those last 5 rolls of film. So basically, what I've done today is mix up a batch of ECN2 developer, a batch of ECN2 bleach, a batch of D23 black and white developer, and a batch of D96 black and white developer. I'm sitting here with a dozen rolls of film to develop, six rolls each of black and white and color, and I'm going to get to developing them if I get to feeling any better. I think I need to go rest now. This is sort of taking a lot out of me. You know, when you're sick without the COVID, but just a regular cold, I think I need to go rest. Maybe take a nap or, ooh, this hot toddy looks good. You know, that's the real thing that I need to fill you in on how to make. To loosely paraphrase Homer Simpson, liquor, it's the cause of and the solution to most of life's problems. So what I'm going to talk to you now about right now is the solution to your health problems. If you have this, it'll make you feel better. Those of you who are non-drinkers, then don't. Have yourself a hot, warm beverage of whatever soothes you. So here it is, a hot toddy. First off, get yourself a coffee mug. Not a great big giant one because you will dilute and you don't want to do that. Just a good, you know, coffee mug. Next, you'll need some honey. Whatever honey you have. You know, local honey is best because it does contain all of the phytonutrients from bloody bloody blue. Well, that's fine. If you got some local honey, great. If you got some honey that came from overseas, that's fine too. So anyway, you take your honey. If you got one of them little bears that you squeeze and squirt and some comes out, put yourself a nice big coating on the bottom of that coffee mug. You know, grab yourself a great big tablespoon, teaspoon, whatever. You want, you know, what I would look at is it covers the whole bottom here with a fairly generous amount of honey. Okay, next, grab yourself some bourbon. Whatever your favorite bourbon is, or in my case, whatever you happen to have on hand. Doesn't have to be the best, your fine sipping Pappy O'Daniel, whatever, whiskey. I don't care. But, you know, it also, you don't want to necessarily drink crap, do you? I don't. The flip side also is that you can substitute bourbon with whatever spirit you enjoy. I can't imagine vodka. Why would you want to drink vodka? But hey, that's not my business. That's yours. But you know, if you want to put some rum in there, some brandy, whatever you want. Your drink, so you can put whatever you wish in there. And then what I have is the top of my shaker. It's not a Boston shaker, it's just one of those all steel shakers. And the what it has here is the lid to it, which is about 2.5 ounces roughly is what it holds. And depending upon whether it's one of the larger coffee mugs or smaller coffee mugs, I put one of them in there with full of bourbon. And then I look at it and I go, yeah, it needs a little bit more. And I probably put a half of one of those in there. So in the end, I'm probably looking at a good 3 to 4 ounces of bourbon. Hey, it's my drink. Don't judge. And then, while that's all been going on, while I've been making that, I've also been boiling up some hot water, just as if I were making tea. But this is much better. So that water's, it's boiling over there. It's coming to the boil, getting ready to start steaming. And that's great, but I'm missing one ingredient. Lemon. You got to have a lemon. You got to have a lemon. So grab a lemon, cut it in half, right down the middle. Slice it, and then slice that in half, basically so that you've got one of those nice little half moon lemon slices, which is perfectly fine. Quite frankly, you can slice your lemon however you want. That's how I do it. So now what I do, I take the hot water, I pour it into the coffee mug with the honey and the bourbon. I grab my spoon and I swirl until the honey is all dissolved. I drop that lemon in there. Maybe give it a twist or a squeeze. Get some of that hot juice in there. Let it all warm up. I find myself my comfy chair and I start sipping. And that, my friends, will cure your cold, will cure your fever, will cure your flu, will cure your attitude. It will cure you. It will soothe you. It will make your day better, your evening brighter, and make all the badness go away, at least until it cools up, and then you got to make yourself another one. And that, my friends, is what I do, and that's going to be how I spend my evening today, curing my cold, curing my cough, curing the fever. Well, never cure the fever. He's got the fever. So, cheers, everyone. This is Matt. Have yourselves a great day and a great weekend. I thank you for enjoying the podcast, or at least reaching out and saying that you enjoy it. It's okay by me. I also want you all to have yourselves a great day. Take care of yourselves. Remember, wash your hands. There's no need to make a run to the grocery store for hand sanitizer or toilet paper. Maybe for bourbon, I would do that, and a couple of lemons. If you don't have honey, you're going to need some of that too. I mean, come on, you got to have priorities. Take care of yourselves. I hope everyone gets through COVID-19 2020 disaster just fine. And cheers to you all. Thanks again for listening to the Box of Cameras podcast.